What am I supposed to say?
I've never listened to a podcast.
You're listening to Big Wheel Coaching Podcast.
You're listening to Big Wheel Coaching Podcast.
A podcast. Brian McCulloch here with Big Wheel Coaching.
Hey, you're listening to Big Wheel Coaching Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Big Wheel Coaching Podcast. And I have to tell you, I get fired up every time I listen to that bumper music put together by Fred Archambault, one of our longtime Big Wheel athletes. He put that together for us with some sounds and voices from a whole bunch of friends of Big Wheel and athletes at Big Wheel. And I just, every time I hear that, when we start putting these podcasts together, I just like, it gets me in the mood. I'm just fired up. So really excited about, I am, Joy. I am. I'm just being like, I think Fred did a great job. He's an artist, man. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So
we're very fortunate to have Fred have made that.
Yeah, Fred did a good job. So for everyone, the cat's out of the bag. We got Joy with us. We got the Big Wheel herself today. And okay, there's a lot going on in the world, and we have a lot of people that listen, and you're listening at home. You know, we have a lot of people obviously in Southern California where we're from, but we have people across the country who listen to the podcast and who are our athletes and people we coach and have coached in the past. And we also have people that we coach and have coached internationally. And so everybody's kind of coming to grips with this corona outbreak, the COVID-19, whatever you want to, whatever we're calling it at the moment. But everyone's dealing with it and has different restrictions in place that they're working through at the moment. And for a lot of people, it's working from home, right? There's a lot of folks listening to this, a lot of athletes that are listening to this that, you know, you have a job that is critical to the business that you work in, and therefore you have to keep doing it even if we're in a shelter in place or a stay-at-home order. So Joy and I, well, really Joy has been working at home for 10 plus years building the business, and I've been working at home for 5 of that. And so Joy really wanted to put something together, and I, of course, fully support her on all this, is that she was like, hey, Brian, maybe people are grappling with what do we do when now we're a spouse that's, or we ourselves are at home and we have to work, and maybe there's a whole lot of distractions going on, let alone just trying to keep our fitness going. But then how do we do that when both our kids and our spouses are at home too? So this is a little less training focused and a little bit what we like to call make man whole methodology. That's from our friends at Loma Linda University. They kind of work on that. I don't want to say, I'm not trying to steal it.
Well, and looking at the business side of coaching, you know, we've been, like Brian said, you know, Big Wheel Coaching's been around since 2010. And part of what I've been doing for my part of the business for the last several years is working in conjunction with Training Peaks and USA Cycling as one of the presenters and teachers to other coaches, teaching about the business side of coaching. And as we're in this very uncharted territory and time, I see a lot of frantic people who are now working from the home and not understanding how to make that workflow work for them. And even if they're living, you know, at home solo, what does that mean for working from the home? And I started thinking, I'm like, man, the business stuff I've taught for coaching and then my experience and Brian's experience, we have a rich bit of knowledge, and a lot of that's on failures and mess ups and mistakes that we've made across time. And so we really wanted to highlight these kind of 3 phases of working from home. And one thing I want to be really cognizant about is both Brian and I chose to work from home. All right. It was a very calculated decision 10 years ago for me to step away from teaching physical education, being with kids all day, to now I'm going to work solely at home for our own business. And now I understand with our listeners, this is not your choice. And so I think innately that adds to the anxiety and the fear and the stress level of, I did not pick this. This isn't what I wanted to do. And so I just wanted to really validate that before we jump into this conversation and understand, like, we picked this, but we also really want to help you now that you have been thrown into this new reality of what work is. And I'm so happy you have work. And I'm so happy that we have work, and we have, you know, we have clients, and that you have clients, or you have a business that you are accountable to every day. That's something that we all should be so thankful for right now.
Couldn't agree more, Joy. Couldn't agree more. And I think you bring up a really important point with that, that because we're going to talk a lot about mindset today and how that important mindset, we have to bring that business mindset into the home and making places in our home that are, shall we say, conducive to that mindset, right? Because when everybody goes to work, I'm, you know, okay, hey, I've got tasks I've got to accomplish. I've got emails that need to be sent, phone calls to be taken, equipment that needs to be worked on, whatever it is, the task that you're dealing with. But so much of it is that mindset. And so now you're in a new environment, but you're trying to maybe have that same mindset. So there needs to definitely be a mindset shift. And I think that's really important because you went through that, Joy. I know that when you first started the business, obviously I was working in the construction business and racing. It was a bit different, right? There was a noticeable shift for you. What was that like?
Well, it was, you know, like I mentioned, I was teaching physical education and, you know, I'd had summers along the way and I look back and I feel really guilty that I never really capitalized on summer. Like I see everyone on social media right now being like, we're quarantined. I'm going to build a shed. I'm going to, you know, paint mosaics on my wall. Like, stop it. Like, you don't need to do all these extravagant things. Like I always said, like, you know, my summer break, I'm going to do all these things. Like I didn't, right? And at that time, like you said, you were working full time in the construction. You were gone, I would say, 12 to 16 hours a day. So you would work. So it was almost, and this sounds bad, but it's almost like I lived alone, right? Because I would be alone from like 6:30 in the morning until about 8:30 at night. And we would have dinner. It was very methodical. And so I went from being around kids in this like very boisterous, bolstering type of setting to literally in a very bare bones home with an old chocolate lab. And it really took me, it kind of knocked me upside the head, the depression that set in. And those of you that know me know I'm pretty gregarious, I'm outgoing, but I'm also, there's a part of me that I'm more reserved and I like that space. But you, to be removed from that setting, again, it was of my own free will, I really struggled with time management. And even though I was like 100% by myself working, and it was my own, and I think the thing that was interesting was I was my own boss. And so creating those timelines for workflow fell on my shoulders as well. And I would find like, oh my word, like I miss the noise. I miss the kids. I miss, you know, have that interaction from my coworkers. And I think a lot of people who are working from home now are feeling that. They might not be the most outgoing people, but they were used to kind of, you know, crossing paths in the hallway with somebody or, you know, having a brief little, like, you know, minute and a half conversation with someone. And that, whether we recognize that in the moment, it really kind of feeds our spirits. And I had a hard time, you know, figuring that. And it took me a while to figure that out, that depression was kind of now kind of putting a shadow over this great opportunity of me being able to work from home.
And you made the most of the opportunity though, Joy. There is no doubt about it. It definitely got you down for a little bit. I know that was really challenging in our relationship. I get at the moment, I didn't understand what you were dealing with. And my awareness of the situation was, I thought, well, hey, you're building a business. You know, you just kind of get in the trenches and keep digging. There's always something to do.
Like, you know, we always think
well,
too, like,
and that
if
was
you're
the perception.
It's not that bad.
Right. Well, and that was, yeah.
Well, and you see now a bunch of people are like, you know, and social media is funny because it's like now people really realize what like stay-at-home moms actually do all day. They're like, oh, crap, this sucks. Right. And so, you know, looking at what I realized really quickly is I needed, and this is kind of funny conversations I've had with my clients like this last week. They're like, my kitchen table is awful. Like I never, like I'm working at my dining room table and these are the most probably expensive chairs and the most uncomfortable things to sit in for 8 hours. So find a comfortable spot to work. Okay. So whether it's you're putting a bolster, you know, a yoga bolster on your chair, you're putting a pillow on there. I had this really fat like Italian cookbook that I raised my computer screen with. You have to be very, very innovative. So if you've been struggling working from home, find ways to make your space a little bit better. And even if you're there solo, have something that's very specifically, this is my workspace. And this is my non-workspace. I used to live up in the mountains and there's probably sub 500 feet square foot cabin. And I really compartmentalized stuff, you know, so here I would work from this spot is when I would do my stuff for when I was in school. And then over here, this is my like entertainment time. And it's very easy when you're working from home for all of that to blur. So kind of some quick tips, get comfortable. Okay. Have a specific space for your work area. I think that helps mentally, like I'm coming into work now, you know, and I'm not a big advocate of like, I have to dress for the job. Obviously I taught PE. So when they say like, you want to wear business casual, I'm like, is that my nice khaki shorts or, but you know, kind of find a routine, get into a rhythm, so that you have that predictability that can almost mimic what you were experiencing at work, you know? And I think what I've really encouraged my athletes to do now that have come, now they're working from home, is to move that workspace. You know, is that 10 a.m. work project something you could do on the porch? What can you kind of symbolize that movement or recreate, pardon me, that movement that you had in the office? You know, so man, at 10 o'clock, I used to go to, you know, Jim's office to do a handoff of this type of, you know, these papers. And so I'm going to get up and go. So what you can find really quickly is working from home, even solo, you're skipping meals. All right. You're either overeating of the things that you bought for your rations for the week, or you're finally like at 6 o'clock at night and you're like, I don't know if I ate lunch today. So going back to setting up a comfortable place, all right, creating movement within that day. And I would even suggest like pack yourself a lunch, or, you know, these are my leftovers from dinner and this is what I'm going to eat at noon. So keep that schedule, kind of that routine that you had, at when you're in the office, so that you're not like working till midnight and you're like, I've been so unproductive today. I think the other thing I did was, well, there's two other things. Open up the blinds in your house or in your room where you're working, bring in some natural light. And get rid of the 12 pot coffee maker. So Brian doesn't drink coffee. When I was home and it was obviously just myself working here, I would brew like a full pot of coffee. That did not go over very well with my, you know, with how everything went. So I got rid of that and now I, you know, have a French press. So, you know, like be normal, because we need to kind of like hunker down, because this could be your work situation for a couple months at least. And so I want you at home to be really productive with your workflow. And a great way to kind of maintain that productivity is to get some activity now. And I'm not saying, and Brian, you might have some input on this, but, you know, say like get off a call, do 10 pushups. And I'm not saying you do those pushups for the strength aspect. I'm doing those pushups to wake up. Okay, to get the blood flowing, to make me feel like a little bit revitalized, or, you know, 10 jumping jacks, or if it's cold, like open the front door. See, if it's like 35 degrees outside, that's a good little like adrenaline shot to like, okay, let's boost this system again. But if you're in a habit and a routine of training, make sure you get that in as well.
There's so much great stuff there, Joy. Thank you for that. I will tell you, I want to back up with everybody and make sure that when Joy says she wants you to build a space that's comfortable, I can't tell you how important that is, because as a professional athlete, but also as a coach, as all these things, like you have to have a space for which you can do things easily. Because what tends to happen is if you come home and you say, okay, well, I have my laptop and I'm just going to set up on the kitchen table and I'm going to do my work and I'm going to send a couple of emails. Well, you might go back and forth to the refrigerator 14 times. You might, you know, oh, well, there's some dishes right there that need to be done. Or, oh, hey, wait a second, you know, this needs to be done. People are coming in and out of the house, distracting you, this, that, the other. So I think it's very important to think about what the space is going to be, because it's likely, at least from the news that we're seeing, that this could be normal for a while, right? Like this could be for, through April or May. Right. And so I hope that everyone goes back to normal sooner than that. But in the event that it's not, I want you to have a comfortable environment that is also allows you to be productive, because there's nothing more frustrating if you're listening to this podcast, I know that you are like, hey, I got things to do and I want to get them done. And I don't want 14 unnecessary hurdles in front of me. And that's what's going to happen when all of a sudden you're in an uncomfortable environment. So even if it means going down to the local thrift shop, which is probably closed right now anyway, but we're going finding something in your garage that allows you to do a makeshift desk that's better, or this or that. Or for Joy and I, we've done makeshift standing desks that allow us to do those kind of things. So do what you can.
Or the Swiss ball.
No, the Swiss ball is a great option, right? Because you can be on that for a little bit. But there's so many things that can make this space comfortable. And the thing that I really want to bring up that you hit on, Joy, is that natural light element. That is so, so, so important, because when you're just kind of driving away and staring at the screen all day, it makes it really hard to kind of come out of that. So I think some ambiance things, you know, for a lot of folks, maybe you didn't have an office with a window. Well, guess what? Now you can set yourself up an office with a window. You might be staring at the back porch. You might, maybe you got a pool. You're staring at the pool. That's cool. View with some water in it. That's cool. I happen to be staring at dump trucks out in the yard that are filled with dirt from someone named Seamus, but that's another story. Definitely, guys, we want you to try and make this normal, right? And productive, because normal is productive for you. So definitely let's make it a comfortable space with that minimizes distractions. And to Joy's point about movement, I find that movement is so important, because it's so easy to just sit and sit and sit and sit. And I want to talk to you a little bit about what that means for you as an athlete. Okay. While you're sitting, a lot of your body is getting tense. Believe it or not, even though you're sitting there relaxing, your hip flexors and your quads are shortening, believe it or not. And so that's when you start hearing people have lower back problems, because their psoas and all of those muscles that kind of keep you erect are getting tired, fatigued, and just shortening all day. They're getting tight. So it's very important that you get up, stand up straight, do some stretches, do some movement. So if you have a headset, if you talk on the phone, you need to be having a headset that you can move around and have some freedom of movement. And here's a dirty little secret too. Most of the people, like, they think better. Like, we can complete sentences better. We can articulate ourselves better when we use our hands or when we're moving around or this, that, the other. So don't be a slave to just sitting at your desk. Make sure that there's plenty of natural light, plenty of opportunity for you to move around and otherwise be comfortable, and not just seated all day. Because then when we say, okay, it's time to get up and do your workout, right? You're clocking out and it's time to go get on your bike or hit your trainer or do a little strength work or whatever. I don't want you to feel lethargic, sluggish, underfueled, irritated, you know, or maybe even just undermotivated.
Yeah, I think the motivation is where it comes hard. It's hard, and there's kind of that natural ebb at the, you know, early, late, you know, mid-afternoon. And when I was working solo from home, a lot of these things were very controllable, right? And I had a much more open timeline. So, you know, I could do a bunch of emails, go do my exercise. And again, I think a real key thing for working from home is having the best relationship or communication you can with your employer as possible. So kind of like, can I move my hours some, or is there a little bit more flexibility so I could do a big chunk in the, you know, in the morning of work and then maybe do some activity in the middle of the day and then get back at it? Cause I always found like, I'm going to work. And I have a lot of things like in my outbox, I haven't sent them, or they're in my drafts. And then I go and I do some sort of training, you know, now, whether if you're jumping on Zwift or you're going to do some cardio workout, something, and my brain can let that stuff kind of marinate and simmer. And then I come back and I delete a bunch of stuff, or I rework stuff and I send things in a much more positive space. Now, when I was home solo, I had a lot more control, obviously. Now, fast forward 5 years. So Big Wheel Coaching, about 2010 to 2014, 2015, it was just me. And then Brian made the transition in about 2015 to come home to join the company. And now we're both working from home. And I know this is kind of different than, You know, many of you are finding yourselves working from home with a partner there, maybe a roommate you literally never saw before. And now you're both home all the time, and bless your heart. Like, at least for Brian and I, we're married. And so, you know, we're going to have weird discussions anywhere. You know, it's a much different relationship than if it's maybe a roommate that you're not super tight with. But, you know, the other thing that's interesting with us is we're working on the exact same business. Now, many of our friends and counterparts that are working from home now are working for very diverse employers. So it might be challenging even on a different level. But like when Brian came home or started to work from home with me, I was like, where did all this stuff come from? And I'm convinced that he was like half living out of his car, because he would go training after, like he would go to work and then he would jump on his bike and he would train like 3 hours, you know, with headlights and all this jazz, like on his bicycle. And then he would come home. And all of a sudden, our work stuff and the stuff on the kitchen table, the stuff on the counters exponentially grew because there was another person working from home.
There was a lot more stuff. That's right. There's no doubt about that.
Where did all this come from?
Yeah, that's true. But to be fair though, right? You don't realize nowadays, we don't realize how much we live out of our cars. And certainly for people that have commutes and drive a lot, you know, you maybe put your bike in the car or you travel with your bike or whatever you do so that you can get a ride in, right? I mean, that was just the way it was. Like, I would go to work at 6:30 in the morning and then I'd finish work at 5 and I'd jump on my trainer, or I mean, I'd jump on my bike and I'd go ride, you know, beyond dark and with lights. And then it was like, throw the bike back in the car, drive home, you know, eat dinner, shower, to connect, go to bed, right? And so now if you think about all of that kind of stuff coming back into the home, I think for you as athletes, it's really important to make sure that your training setup is really like set up for you. I think it's worth taking, even if you have to take a day away from your training, I think it's so valuable to set up a place where it's like, okay, my bike goes here, my helmet goes here. And if I could show you guys a video of like my little setup where I ride, or where I kind of get ready every day to train, it's like my shoes always go in the same spot, right? So like road shoes come out, regular shoes go in their place, right? When I come back from training, regular shoes go on, road shoes go back in, right? Helmet gets hung in the same spot, right? There's always a place for my Pedal Industries Big Wheel Coaching Race Day bag, right? That's always has all the stuff in it. So every day I just grab my kit, put on my stuff and get going. And so I want you to think, like, as a professional cyclist, that's my office. And I take that very seriously to make sure that it stays organized, but also that everything's where it needs to be and everything's in its place. Because when everything's in its place, my mind is not cluttered with, hey, where did I put my computer, or where did I put my charger for my computer, or when was the last time we changed the battery in my power meter, right? So I want to make sure all those things are dialed and taken care of. So just do, you know, it's like they say, like an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. A lot of this is, you know, an ounce of planning and an ounce of setup. A day of setup is so much better for you, both working from home and also being an athlete out of the house too, because you're now trying to say, wait a second, I'm coming home and I'm going to be ready to ride and I've got to do this. But if your home is anything like our home, which I'm going to assume it is, right? There's any number of honeydews or things to be done that you probably could do right now in this moment, but you know, the day is getting shorter and you only have so much time to train. So when it's time to train, go train, right? And then when you come home, you can do whatever else you need to do, right? Because there's always more things to do in a day than there is time in the day, right?
Well, and I think that kind of leads to, and I thought about starting with this, our whole conversation. You know, Brian, you and I have both been talking about this quite a bit, and with our athletes as they're coming to their home workplace. And many people are making the assumption, and I'm so glad they're excited. First of all, no one's like super downtrodden that they're working from home. They're like, I'm going to have all this time. You don't. Okay. And I'm just going to put it out there, like, lower your expectations for productivity. And once you do that, make your to-do list smaller, because, you know, when I started working from home, I'm like, wow, you know, I can completely like Marie Kondo, like my entire like clothes stuff, like I'm going to have everything organized. And all of a sudden, you know, 2 hours later, I was, you know, doing a top to bottom organization of the dresser, and I neglected these work things, and now I'm working till 10 p.m. So kind of revert back to when I was a school teacher, we had class periods. So if I treat my day like class periods, okay, third block or third period, I can do home chores, all right? And our good friend Lauren Roos actually asked us this question, like, how do I, because we opened this up to like, hey, we're doing a podcast about working from home. How can we help you? And she's like, well, I get sidetracked. And all of a sudden, you know, this garden project turns into a 5-hour ordeal. And all of a sudden, you know, it turns into something it wasn't supposed to be, or, you know, my whole day is gone. And you don't think about it a day wasted. It's just, how can I be more mindful? So, you know, setting timers, like, hey, I'm going to give myself 30 minutes to do this task. Or I think it's been, I always found it nice to take those breaks during the day. So I'm going to work. And now I have 30 minutes for these housework chores, because they need to get done no matter what, you know, whether I'm going to do them all day Saturday or Sunday. But maybe if I set a timer, I can do that. And we always have this sense of like validation that we did it. You know, oh, I feel so much better. Everything's all organized. And now I can kind of get back in the trenches. But, you know, I feel like a lot of our friends that are now finding themselves working from home, their productivity is completely derailed because of the distractions of the house, you know, of like, well, I want to do these things. I want to make dinner. I want to, you know, kind of go down this rabbit hole. So again, really protect kind of the sanctity of your work. So giving yourself more strict work hours, and then those leniencies of, okay, this is my quote unquote free time. I'm going to go and do this other house task. And then knowing like, hey, but at 4 o'clock, I've got to get back online and do this other thing. You know, when Brian and I both started working from home, it became even more imperative that we have our own workspaces, you know, and it's been an evolving process. Like my workspace went from the kitchen to the spare bedroom to that became an office. And now it's the baby's room. And then my office went to the front of the house. And now my office is in our bedroom. But I've always tried to kind of carve out a little plot of land for myself. And now if you're finding yourself working from home with a partner, every night, I would really encourage you to sit down and ask, what is in store for you tomorrow? What does your next day look like? This could be kind of an interesting like practice anyways, because you're going to find out what your partner does for work. You know, a lot of times like people would ask me, well, what does Brian do? And I'm like, I don't know. He does like freeway construction. I don't know the ins and outs of it, right? But this will give you some time to be like, I would be, you know, if Brian and I were on, you know, as an example, to be like, hey, Brian, do you have important calls scheduled tomorrow? And we still do this for us to now. It's like, hey, what are your things you can't wiggle on? And then, you know, I have friends that they have one room in which they should be on a conference call, right? Or one room in which they could have a Zoom conversation. So you have to kind of say, hey, this is Brian's hour for Zoom. And this is Joy's hour for Zoom. And now we can't overcommit ourselves because we can't be Zooming in the same room, right? And so this is going to give you and your partner or your roommates or your spouse that opportunity, like you're going to have these conversations almost every day, but that's going to help you. So when we get into the workday tomorrow, we're not stepping all over each other.
That's a great point, Joy. That's a very, very good point. I think about something I learned a long time ago. When I was working in the construction business, every day I would make a to-do list. And this is kind of really ever since I've been, as long as
you're
I can
like
remember.
Seven. You're like 7 years old with the to-do list.
Probably since I was 7, I've had to-do lists. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I don't know. But for a long time, as long as I can remember, I've always had a notebook. And every day I would put, what is my to-do list for the day? Right? And I would just put all the things I needed to do and I would start attacking it. And where, for example, where Joy and I are different is that Joy can start a task and then do a sufficient amount of it to where she feels like she's at a stopping point and then go start another task or do another task. I'm much more like, if I'm doing one thing, I want to stay doing one thing until I finish that task and then I want to move on to the next. So for me working at home, it's been really challenging from the standpoint that is not always possible because there's always something to do. There's things come into the into our day much more than we have probably control over our time is probably.
Well, and you would also, but you would also put on your list like maybe so like Brian uses just like college ruled note paper size, right?
Yes.
I use that's like the size of a tablet. Okay, that's my, and I write big, and mine's probably not college ruled, and I write in big letters. So like the list comparison, like I shoot low, okay, because I want to have everything crossed off. And so because I used to be like, you know, I'd be like, today's Friday, and I would do like 22% of my stuff. So I just cross out Friday and like Monday, okay? So I'd rather like achieve the things. And but Brian would put on there like build pergola and then 17 other things. And so Brian's still stuck building the pergola, which was a pretty cool project.
Well, that until it crashed.
Until it fell over. But you see, like, yeah, that's we could probably do several podcasts on working with your spouse from home. But you know,
well, I would say that the thing that has really helped me, because I think some of these folks, some of our athletes are, they're taskmasters. They like go to work and they get things done, right? And so you're used to being always charging. And so what I've had to transition to was instead of doing a to-do list every day, I do a win the day list. And I also do at the beginning of the week, specifically to your point, Joy, Sunday night, I will put together my a weekend focus. And that's all the things that I need to do this week to make the week a success, right? That's all the things that I want to do for my athletes and make sure that they're covered, the events that they have going on, et cetera, so that I can make sure that I fold in calls to talk to them. So I make sure that we talk about their strategy, so that I do the research so I understand the things I need to know about their events so that when we have a conversation, I'm not wasting their time, right? So I always make a win, like basically a win the week, the things that I have to do to win the week. And then every day, the night before, like you said, I have a win the day list, right? And because I'm both a professional cyclist and a coach, part of my win the day is I have to find time for training. Well, I know a lot of my other teammates, they just get up in the morning and they do whatever their morning routine is, right? And then at some point, their win the day is just go ride their bike. And so it doesn't matter if it's, you know, noon when they leave or 10 a.m. when they leave or 2 p.m. when they leave, as long as they did that, they quote won the day, you know? Whereas obviously, you know, I have 25 athletes that I have the privilege of working with. They are my highest priority, right? And then obviously you and your athletes, Joy, you are my priority and making sure Seamus is taken care of. So my training is not always the highest priority. So I really have to be disciplined about my win the day list every day, because if I flood it with stuff, the order of priorities makes it so the training doesn't happen, right? And that never makes me feel well at the end of the day. I don't feel like, wait a second, I didn't give my day the best, right? Because I don't want to cheat anybody, any of my athletes. I want to give them all my best. I want to give you, Joy, my best. I want to give Seamus my best. And I want to give my training my best. And I know that that resonates a lot with people at home. And so when Joy says make a more modest list, it's because she sees that in me and she knows that. And that I always try to just do more and more and more and more because I want to maximize every day. So heed Joy's advice is not underachieving. It's allowing you to be successful and continue to devote the time you should devote and need to devote to something so that you can feel satisfied that it's up to your standards. Because I know that you're listening have high standards.
Well, and we don't want everyone to get burnt out on this because it can be fun for a little bit, you know, as far as like, hey, I'm on my own. I'm working from home. I have my own structure. But if we kind of overcommit in this first 30 days or, you know, 2 weeks of working from home, you can really run yourself into the ground. And so I'm always, you know, with my coaching, kind of with a lot of my perspectives, very conservative in this energy expenditure. And so just, you know, having a communication with your partner now, if you're that team of two working from home together, just so important to communicate, you know, what's happening the next day. What are the expectations from your employer? What are the expectations for your workflow? And then, still trying to, even though you're, you know, in the same space together all the time. And this is something Brian and I may have, we're not that great at, is you're working from home together all the time, right? So you're in the house 24/7. Can you still sit down and have that time for you as if your partners, if your friends, if your spouses, that's non-work related? So, you know, kind of have that little bit of, you have to unplug. All right. So kind of trying to find that line in the sand of where work's done and we're going to have this family, spouse, couple's time. Because it can all get so blurry now that you're, it's all at home. And just, you know, kind of see if you can compartmentalize those a little bit of, you know, you're obviously going to have work stress, your partner's going to have work stress, but you still want to nurture and build that relationship. Even if it's, you're just like you're a roommate with a friend, you don't want that this time to be just take that time to de-stress together. And I think that can really help reboot you to kind of get in the trenches to work the next day.
Great advice, Joy. Great advice. Great advice. So we've talked a little bit about the two of us working together. And boy, there was a number of years where it was just the two of us working together. And then we added a little monster nugget to the equation, and that really has been a challenge. And I would say that we're still grappling with that, all in the best way possible, of course. But you know, this is interesting because as we've talked to a lot of our athletes, one of the biggest challenges is, hey, my kids are at home, and obviously we all love our kids, and we all love, you know, we want to be around our kids. And as they grow up and grow older, you know, we're less involved with them as they become teenagers and all these things. But what you want to do is you want to be there and love and support them. But you also have, again, you have your busy work stuff. You have to support your spouse. You have to support your kids. You have to take care of your household. You have to do all those things. And at some point, we want to get in there and get some training. So again, it can just be more people in the house means more distractions. Right? There's more stuff going on because there's five cell phones ringing in the house. There's five people getting Facebook, Strava notifications, text message notifications. There's always a phone dinging, right? And if you're anything like me, I want to turn off all the notifications. When it's time to work, I want to work, right? Well, but that doesn't necessarily work when you have a toddler, right? Like I have no notifications on my phone outside of text messages. But there's one little nugget always tugging it, like, hey dad, like, what are you doing? Let me sit in your lap. Oh, I want to see what that Training Peaks file looks like. Okay, let's do this, right?
touch, talk. Well, and I think you know, kind of before I jump into like what is this working with a toddler, one thing that I really want you all to be mindful with is technology and non-work apps. Okay, so now you're home. And so, you know, maybe you're on a personal laptop, you're not on company stuff. So maybe, you know, on your browser, you've got some sort of news channel up there, you've got Facebook, you've got whatever you're delving into. Do yourself a favor and shut those down and have specific times that you can check your phone. And I know it sounds like I'm teaching high school again, but it's going to be so much better for your workflow and for your brain and for your soul. Like, honestly. Constant adrenal tap of information of really crappy stuff that's happening out there, of drama, you're not going to get your work done. Okay. And so unless you want to work until midnight, you have to put that stuff away. Okay. So we work through Training Peaks. So I'll just have Training Peaks up if I'm building a training plan. All right. Because I don't want to be tempted. Like I'm going to check my emails. Or I kind of do this thing like I don't, you know, I answer my emails from the bottom up, but shut down the apps and work. Okay. If you want to have, even though now you have all this freedom, you're in your pajamas, you're working, it's 2 p.m., right? Your boss can't tell you, you know, to go put a nice outfit on. You're like, do yourself a favor and get off the social media during your work hours, because then you're going to actually complete your work. And that's my lecture to the 10th graders. But looking at, okay, so adding children to the equation. So Seamus was born July 1, 2018. So he's going to be 21 months old next week. And we own our own business, obviously. And so we have none of this paternal leave, maternal leave, whatever leave is, other than Brian went to the tour of Utah, so he did leave. So we have this kid, right? And what happens was, all of a sudden, you know, and another like caveat is, like I said, he's going to be 21 months old, and we've never had daycare for him. And it was a personal decision between us that we're like, we have the ability, we have the flexibility. We like him. We think we can do it. And so we literally had just decided to send him at least one day a week to daycare the week of when the pandemic began. And so I had a little bit of a breakdown because I was really looking forward to like an uninterrupted work day just once a week. And but it wasn't meant to be, you know, so we're just like back to business as usual and it's okay. But, you know, looking at with your children at home, and whatever their age variance is, like just have a lot of what I found was very helpful with us having Seamus is we had a lot of transparency. Okay. All of our clients knew I was pregnant. We don't hide that type of stuff or protective on social media. And obviously I would see them at events, but when baby Seamus arrived, he was part of the team. And kind of through that, I would have a lot of conversations with athletes and, you know, they would hear him in the background and they're like, oh, Seamus, does Coach Seamus not agree with this methodology? I'm like, no, Coach Seamus is so mad at you right now. So just encourage you to have transparency with those you're working with on what your situation is. And now I know some of your work situations can be very stressful and maybe high stakes. And there's like no wiggle room for this kid crying in the background. And I really feel for you. Like, honestly, I understand we're in a blessed position to be like, hey, my kid's going bananas. Can I call you back in 10 minutes? But having that kind of transparency with those you're working with can really help. And I think in this time, especially, they're most likely dealing with something like that on their end as well. And so there might be a higher level of grace. Okay. So really communicating that. Also going back to what I said with having those evening conversations with your partner of like, dude, what does tomorrow look like? That can really help set up with the childcare with kind of like that handoff of like, okay, I've got these important calls in the morning. So Brian, can you kind of be on Seamus patrol? Okay. Kind of help him out. And then we kind of, you know, play hot potato and toss the ball. All right. So now Brian's going to do a chunk of calls and I'll be able to be more hands-on with the kids. One of our good friends and clients, Gil Ron, he asked us a question through social media. He said, hey, I work from home. I've always worked from home, but now so do my kids. You know, they're high school, junior high kids, and they're, you know, taking their courses at home and they wake up and by 1 o'clock, they're going crazy. Everyone's insane and I can't get anything done. What should I do? So my suggestion to Gil was, plan for it. Okay. If I know the kids are going to be up at one and they're going to be high energy, either plan your training around that or say like, I'm out the door, or block off your schedule and sit down and have lunch with the family. This is a really unique time for us to reconnect with our families and kind of treating it like the witching hour. Or like, it's kind of predictable every day, you know, Seamus would be crazy at 5 p.m. So I'd always just block my schedule off. Or even right now, if he's gets up at his nap at like 3:30, he's going to be high energy. So I sit down and I focus play with him, or I take him out to the trails and we ride with him. So if you have the option to shut work off for a little bit, and maybe that means your employer is going to let you work until 8 o'clock at night. Maybe I can work later. Maybe I can do a couple hours on the weekend. And instead of working, you know, 8 hours for 5 days, could I work 6 hours and then add some of that time back in on the weekends? But if you could plan for it instead of fight it, you have to kind of relinquish that there's going to be this level of chaos. And instead of, you know, going toe to toe with it, can you as the parent relinquish and like sit down on the floor with them and have a sandwich?
Well, that's good to have a sandwich with him. That's something that's been challenging for me to learn. That's for sure. Because I come from in the construction business, I worked for great people, but they were like, hey, you know, you're here now. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care if there's any sort of meltdown going on. Do your damn job, you know? And I appreciated that about them because, you know, they wanted me to get it done and I had the ability to get it done. So that was where I came from. So when we came home, I was very rigid with all the, with those things. Like, okay, we work from this time to this time. And I don't mean I'm just in my office. I mean, like, we're working, we're getting something done. We're moving the needle. And so it's been a little bit challenging there to do that with having Seamus at home, but it has helped in some sense because he brings that schedule to us that otherwise goes out the window because there's no rigidity to our schedule inherently. But now with Seamus there, it's like, okay, yep. You know, he's going to eat breakfast. So that, you know, for example, Joy and I never sat down and had meals together when we were you know, early on married, very only maybe on the weekends or something like that. But forever more, we were just always eating on the go, probably a lot like you, you know, and now all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, right? I learned a while ago from one of our athletes, he talked to us about family hugs, right? Right. And so we started employing these important components into spending time with our creating family and putting an emphasis on that, right? Patrick Silva taught me that a while ago. And I've had to work at that just like I work at my work or I work at my fitness or I work at whatever project is in front of me. And so I think for those of you at home listening, this can be very, very helpful for you to be both, like Joy said, you could be a little more loose with things, but then having some of the things that are rigid and things that are predictable and you can count on, like, hey, dinner's always at 6 or whatever, that can be fantastic because those can bring the family together. Those can help you guys maintain that personal connection because when you start getting, you start adding work into the home environment, and especially like Gil was expressing, like, well, now my kids are home all the time, but to them it's fun, right? They're just trying to make it through the day and have a good day. Right. Maybe they're not in school right now. So they're just there to them. It's all fun. But for us as adults, we're trying to make a living. We're trying to provide for our families. We're trying to do these things that maybe not everyone in the household is on the same program. So having some conversations with everybody and saying, hey, these are the boundaries. I understand you're a little stir crazy and you want to go out and see your friends, but you just can't because of coronavirus. But hey, dad, mom still have to work at these periods of time. So we need you to be a little creative. Take care of yourself, think for, you know, find something for you to do, or, hey, I can task you with chores, right? And sometimes that's what I do with Seamus. I try to give him chores.
Well, yeah, it's great when the kid has, he does put those shoes back in your special spot for riding. So it is very helpful. But, you know, looking at it, sitting down for even 5 minutes with the kid can diffuse that frenetic stress, right? Because the more we ignore him, the more he gets spun up. And we've worked hard and now it's getting more and more challenging to keep him off of like YouTube and screen time and stuff, right? And so if you're going to have a child in the house and you're on phone calls and they're not like on technology, what they do can be pretty interesting, especially for a 20-month-old. There is dirt in Brian's office that should not be there. That has been brought in from outside, but in trucks. But, you know, looking at if you can take those and, you know, especially with our work, it's okay, right? I can step away for 5 minutes or 15 minutes or be like, hey, you know what? A lot of my work since Seamus has come happens between 8:30 and midnight, 8:30 at night of midnight. So I'll talk to clients during the day, but a lot of like sitting down and banging work out, I do after he goes to bed. Because, you know, since we've made the choice, you know, before all of the coronavirus to have him home with us all the time, that means we actually have to parent him, right? We have to teach him stuff. And so, you know, if you're able to, within your day, like Brian said, those meal times, that's going to help give your kids some of that consistency as well. You know, sitting down and eating breakfast, you know, and then lunch, it literally doesn't take that long to throw a sandwich together and sit down and eat that meal with your kids. All right. So that's giving you that little bit of break and it's going to satiate the child for a little bit. And then maybe they can go off and do another task. But, you know, if you know that they're going to kind of have that witching hour or kind of that, another one of my friends, Linda Bree, she was a school teacher with me and now she's teaching remotely, which is amazing. They're teaching second graders through Zoom, which like I think it's absolutely phenomenal. But she says her girls are a little bit older than that, but come 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, everyone's bouncing off the walls. So I said, plan for it. Just be prepared. 2:45, everybody change of scenery. Okay. So we know everyone's going to be wound up and they're going to be crawling the walls. So, you know, if you're stuck inside for your shelter in place, have the family do a jumping jack session, or let's all, we're all doing art, or we're going to all make a pie together. So if you can, again, have that transparency with your employer, see if you can get a little flexibility with your workflow time. Can I work a little bit later into the evening if I can go from, you know, 2 to 5 and spend that time with my family? I'm more than willing to work from, you know, 8 to 10 o'clock at night. You might be more tired. Okay. You might have some other collateral issues, but having that family time and really validate your kids, help them, teach them things. You know, I think it's a hard thing for a lot of people to do, but realizing that you have this, I used to call Seamus the orb of wonder. Right? I have this little orb of wonder who all he wants to do is hang out with us, right? His new favorite word is mommy, 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 mommy. And he just loves us so much, right? And if I can even have, you know, as Brian didn't travel very much last year, and it was a really disappointing kind of season race scenario for him. But I just kept saying, like, this is such an impactful time to have this kid who's 1 year old and you're home as a father figure and the mother's in the home, and you have these parents that are home with your children and you have the opportunity to spend this time with them. This is gold. And if you're stuck at home with your children, and, you know, I hope it's a healthy situation, and, you know, just my heart breaks a lot when I'm thinking about kids and adults who are home and in less than ideal situations right now. And, you know, I'm searching for ways to help in the, you know, help those people be in a safe space. But if you're home with your kids, like, this is an opportunity you're never going to get back. Okay. So find some time to do something creative, listen to them, sit down and ask them questions. Tell me about, you know, what you want, what your goals are. You know, if you have these older kids, it could be a really cool time. And it's going to, this time, you know, this pandemic is going to leave a mark on all of us and for our remaining life, right? So I want you to be able to have those times with your children and think, like, did I capitalize on that opportunity to be at home with my family? And I hope that, you know, I know it can be kind of messy at the same time, though.
Do you mean messy as in, like, Seamus bringing dirt into my office while I'm talking to one of our athletes about, you know, time trial pacing?
No, I'm talking about, like,
would it be like that?
No, it'd be like, I went for a bike ride the other day. This is literally within this calendar week. And I came back and all of the kitchen cabinets were emptied.
That is true.
so that's why Brian's like, this kid doesn't watch technology, but he's going to undo all the things. You know, working from home is, like, we've always been very fortunate to have this opportunity. And it's something that I ever want to take for granted, you know, and you can hear Dixie snoring in the background. You know, that was, I learned that too. You know, I'd be doing calls. They're like, what's that noise? And I'm like, well, currently, I have 2 chocolate labs sleeping in my room/office, and they're both snoring. So I apologize. But, you know, just bring a lot of this human element of you as a worker and as an employee. And I just hope that you know, working from home, again, Brian, maybe you can help me. Lowering expectations, that sounds negative, but lighten the reins on yourself a little bit. Okay. Like, you don't have to, like, do all of these amazing things with your quarantine time. If you could do something amazing, it's build quality relationships. Okay. And we want you to have a successful time working from home. So we hope that some of these tips can help of setting up a safe space or a clear space where you can just do work, right? Shut off the technology and the other distractions so you can just do work. Take, like, purposeful breaks within the day so you can kind of get that shot in the arm, like, look outside, open the windows. And then have that really high level of communication with your partner who's also working from home. Okay. So you're going to be stepping on each other. You're going to be, you know, it's a lot of shared space. And that's something that's like, man, you know, when Brian and I, we first started, it was like, we're married. We work together in the same business. Sometimes we train together and then we would go to the races together. That's a lot. And many of you are not accustomed to like even, you know, 20% of that interaction with your partners. And so I understand that that could be, it could be a little stressful.
Well, it's never, we've never, yeah, it's not been easy, right? I mean, we've definitely had to work on it and there's been plenty of challenging conversations that we've both had to have and we've had to search for the right words and help each other find the right words for what we're trying to say. So, you know, that's when you say lower your expectations, I don't think what you're saying is lowering expectations as much as it's shifting your target so that you're much more in the realm of achievable. Right. And doing the things that make a lot of sense and actually do move the needle in your life. Right. And so by me putting 20 things on my to-do list and only getting 10 of them done, that didn't make me a failure. In fact, it just made me over task oriented. Right. Instead of picking 5 things, like you said, that really need to be done and then getting those things done. Right. And then making sure I could go to bed with my win the day list checked off and be like, okay, cool. I won the day. And on that list are my regular routines of training, taking care of family, you know, all the things that I like to do and get to do with the business and for our athletes, helping them, making sure that they are as prepared as possible to go into whatever event they're set up for or whatever goal they're attacking. I want to help them do that. So it's not about lowering standards, I don't think, in any way. I think it's about revising and adjusting your mindset so that you're productive and not beating yourself up, because that's just not useful time. It's not useful time. Right?
No,
it's just
we already have there's already so much negativity right now. You know, so I want you guys as the listeners to, you know, have that win the day. Or, you know, Brian and I do this fun. I have no idea where this came from, but we've been doing this for years. Like something cool happens or it's like, oh, I just need a win. I need something in my positive or my pro column. Like I'd be like, toss him a ball and he's like hits it like a softball or a baseball. I don't remember why we started that, but it was like this kind of funny thing. I'm like, dude, that's a home, like you hit a home run. Right. And just having like, okay, I feel good about that. And I want you all listening to have that kind of like, you know, we're going to make it through this time. It's kind of weird. It's kind of messy. And like, I'm going to relinquish to maybe the dishes aren't done and things aren't perfect, but to sit across the table from your partner or your kids. And then, you know, those of you who are working from home, now, you know, jump on those Zoom happy hours, you know, jump on FaceTime with friends and keep that social interaction going, because I can only imagine this distancing, and having everything in your space alone is really hard. And so, you know, that's a great time to really utilize all of your social networking tools of, you know, of reaching out and hopefully, you know, people are reaching out to you as well. And you can kind of get that satiated in the day as well.
Love it, Joy. Love it. Well, that's great, Joy. Thank you for, you know, you were so excited about this, sharing with people all of your experiences from working at home and the various chapters of working with home, whether it's been as a solo, proprietor of a job, a business, right? And trying to figure out, wait, I'm my own boss. How do I be productive? Especially when there was this notion of the rest of the world thinks like, hey, well, it must just be easy. It's just like, you know, unicorns and rainbows over in your world. And you're actually, you know, dealing with some serious depression, right? And then going to having, you know, your partner, me, be at home all the time, and us working on the same business at the time, being teammates and training together, racing together, going to the events on the weekend, you know, basically 7 days a week. Yeah, it was a lot, you know, we handled it well. And, you know, and then you add the family element, because we've done it now, obviously, as a family too, to have Seamus there. And by no means are we experts, but we're certainly not, we're certainly just trying to paint the real picture for you guys. That's really what it is. Like, I wish our house was cleaner. Right. I wish I had, you know, I wish I had a faster computer.
Don't start the list of wishes.
Good point.
We have to say, like,
leave it on a high note. End it on a high note.
Yeah. you know, like
we're not perfect, but we want everyone to know that, like, hey, it's okay not to be perfect. You're great the way you are, right? Like, keep doing what you can do. Let's find a win for today. And by the way, let's help our spouses and our family members find a win today, because when we all have a win for today, we can all come closer together as a family. And that's something that we hope that everyone can take from this period of time, is that our health is something to be cherished, and the time we have together is finite. So if we can stay healthy through, you know, be it through training or good nutrition or mindfulness practice or whatever it is that helps you feel healthy, no doubt we just want you to be healthy, and we want you to enjoy the time you have with your family. And maybe this working from home period of time won't feel so much like purgatory for you.
Yeah. And again, we're so happy that you have the ability to work. And please, this is a conversation, obviously, you could probably tell we're kind of passionate about. And I, you know, I love to see people be successful from home. And, you know, please feel free to any of our social media, shoot us messages or in the comments if you have other questions about, you know, your working from home setup. And this is right now today, we're specifically talking about the work, like the business side of it. And the next podcast we're going to do is about the training side. So we're both really excited about that as well. But, you know, really from the business side of taking your work and how you are supporting your family to the house, please, you know, ask questions here. And we'd love to help kind of continue this conversation as it evolves through the pandemic and however long we're here.
Absolutely. We are here. So, Joy, we always close this with the gratuity. You want to lead, or you want me to lead?
You can lead.
Oh, all right then. All right. I am really thankful that you brought this, that you were really passionate about doing this podcast today, Joy. This is great, because I really wanted to delve into more training focus and share some more training tidbits with our athletes. And you really pushed for this today and said, hey, wait a second. I want our athletes as humans, as men and women, to feel strong and capable and confident so that they can perform their training. So I'm really thankful that you drove this as an important thing for you. And I'm so excited to have been a part of it with you. So thank you. Thank you. You always share such great insight with everyone. I always learn something. Thank you.
Well, thanks for the help, Brian. And I'm grateful for, let me see, the sun is out. It is 3:20 p.m. in Pacific Standard Time, and our child is sleeping and we're podcasting. So for those of you that don't know, usually when we podcast, it's somewhere between 9 or 11 p.m. at night when Seamus is sleeping. But Brian has become a baby whisperer, and maybe it's as Seamus matures. You know, these kids, they're always such moving targets. They're insane. But he was a horrible napper and sleeper. And I'm kind of starting to believe that was mostly because of his interactions with me, but we'll kind of let that go. But Brian can literally get him to go in his room, take a couple trucks, read him a book, and he takes a nap in a crib, which he had not done until approximately 2 weeks ago. And it's almost like clockwork now. And so I'm legitimately grateful for this up to 2 hours of time in the middle of the day when I'm cognizant and not smashed that I can work and do stuff like podcasts. So thank you, Brian.
You are welcome, dear. You are welcome. So for everyone at home, we hope you enjoyed this podcast. We really appreciate you guys spending the time and joining us. I hope you found it helpful. I hope you're having a great day, and please stay healthy. If you need stuff for your cycling, always know that we have a Pedal Industries store, and our friends at Pedal Industries, they just make super good stuff. They make event day, race day bags. They make incredible hats and socks and rip gloves and all sorts of things. And although you're not, you're probably not riding outside all that much right now, or at least don't have any events on the horizon, there's still, you still need good stuff to support your cycling habits. So they have great stuff. Expedo pedals, snack bar makes great food there. We've got GQ6 stuff. All of that is awesome. You've probably heard all of that about us talk about all those things. If you have questions about any of those things, check out in the podcast notes, because there's special little discounts there. And if I can tell you that if you reach out to anyone from any of those companies, be it Expedo, snack bar, GQ6, etc., you're going to get a personal response from one of the owners of the company because we know them and they really love our Big Wheel athletes. So when you guys reach out, they listen and they want to be there to help you. So if you have problems or questions or want to get to know their products, it's worth reaching out because they make really, really good stuff. So anyway, thank you all for listening. And we look forward to talking to you about training from home next time around. So thanks, Joy. I think that was a good one.
Awesome. Thanks.
Until next time, guys, ride safe, train hard, and have fun.